Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you ever read something in the Bible and then thought, what was that all about? I have, in fact, many times. There have been many times I've wondered how something may be possible, like God creating all of creation, all of the world, all of the universe, by his word alone. And in our readings this morning, it might appear that Paul and Jesus are a bit in conflict, that Peter was either just a poor student or he was a bad teacher. In his letter to the Corinthians, Paul seems to have failed to grasp something that Jesus taught. Now, I don't know if you caught it or not, but in our gospel and epistle lessons this morning, something in the words of Jesus and Paul just don't seem to jive. So I'm going to read again a portion of those and listen very carefully. First, from our gospel lesson, the words of Jesus from his Sermon on the Mount. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Now that sounds pretty clear, right? In the King James Version, it speaks of the jot and tittle. You may remember that if you're familiar with that. And the iota and dot refers to the smallest letter and markings in the Hebrew language. So the top word is the word Yahweh, the name of God, and the letter to the, would be on your side here, what? In the right in the middle there, that's called a yod. That's the jot. And if you see where it's pointing on that larger piece, that little swirl at the top, that's called a tittle. It's different in Hebrew, obviously. But it's not just the fact that that letter needs that. But if you look at the two bottom letters, that little tittle on the end where it says Beth, that changes that letter to a completely different letter. So it is important. Jesus is saying nothing in Scripture is not important. Every word, in fact, as the Jews believe, every letter and smallest part of the letter of the Scriptures is vital. But what did we hear Paul say in our epistle? I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now that seems like Paul is saying only the parts of Scripture that speak about Jesus and the cross are important. But Jesus said not one iota or dot of the Scriptures, every word will fail. So is Paul saying that only the explicit gospel is important and that the law isn't needed? Was Paul unaware of what Jesus was teaching, or was he simply ignoring it? Well, I don't know about you, but I don't like either of those options. So there's got to be a better explanation. There's never a contradiction in the Bible. So how do we reconcile Christ's teaching with Paul's every letter of the law or nothing but Christ crucified? If you're like me, you're probably getting the typical January mail, or have gotten it, or it's extending now into February, of course. W-2s, 1099s, 1099 INTs, or 1099 DIVs, or 1099 DIV substitutes, or 1098s, or who knows whatever 10s the government wants to throw at us. And of course, that means that we'll soon be assembling deductions, exclusions, exemptions, and seeing if we qualify for any credits. Taxes are complicated. It wasn't that long ago that Steve Forbes, he was a billionaire businessman who was running for president, Steve Forbes proposed a flat tax to replace the whole federal income tax structure. Here's how much you made, Now give the government 17%. Pretty simple. Of course, the problem, as critics say, is that it's not that simple. It won't work. At least not at a rate that low. And quite frankly, I have no idea if it would work or not. In fact, I really don't care. We got what we got, and it changes every year anyway. But it would sure be nice to simplify the whole thing. Somebody want to open the door and see if somebody wants to? It's our friendly neighborhood woodpecker. Should I do so? We don't sing another hymn. Is that, maybe that'll scare him away. Who knows? It would be nice to simplify the whole thing, wouldn't it? And that's what some people like to do with God and what he has to say as well. Some just like flat out deny the truth of certain teachings of Scripture. Creation didn't happen in 6 days. The Red Sea didn't really part, allowing the Israelites to cross over and on dry land to boot. Jesus really wasn't born of a virgin. Others deny that certain teachings of Scripture, don't apply today. Typically when a clear word of Scripture makes them uncomfortable. Those words about adultery, sex before marriage, or divorce can't really apply to me. Everybody else is doing it. We're really in love. We're going to get married, so what's the difference? Or there's no romance anymore, so we shouldn't stay married. It's all really very simple, like the flat tax. The problem, Jesus says, is that it won't work. Truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Keeping 17% of the law won't work. And neither will keeping 97% of the law work. Anything that lowers God's standards simply won't work. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." That's not an option. It's a command. We are called to be salt, to season the world around us. We're not to start tasting like the rest of the world. We must let our light shine, live like Christ, speak of Christ. We're called not to hush up and blend in. We must obey every iota and dot, every letter of the law. Jesus doesn't give us the slightest leeway. Now, if it weren't Jesus speaking, we'd probably think that this was the worst kind of legalism. Pay attention to every word, every letter, every tiny detail of the law. On the other hand, Paul says he knows nothing except Christ crucified. And when I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul says, the cross is the whole message. Kind of sounds like Paul would make really good children's messages. Nothing fancy, always simple. The answer to every question would be, Jesus died for me on the cross. The truth is, next to Christ, Paul was probably the most brilliant and complex theologian of all time. But he says that the old, familiar, simple message of Jesus crucified is it. That's all of it. There's nothing more. And we say it every Sunday. Jesus died on the cross to save sinners. Jesus died for you. Jesus' death saves me. So is that really all we're supposed to preach every Sunday? Is it possible that that says it all? One pastor told this story about his daughter. He said, "When my Rachel was about 6, she gave me a Bible trivia quiz one day. I'm thinking of 2 men in the Bible." That was it. No other clues. Just, "I'm thinking of 2 men in the Bible." So I said, James and John. No. Peter and Andrew. No. Jacob and Esau. Nope. Cain and Abel. Nope. So I finally had to say, "I give up. What 2 men?" And she said, "Jeroboam and Rehoboam." Said, "Yes, really, that's what my 6-year-old daughter gave me in that quiz." So then I asked her, "Which of them was the king of the north, Israel, and which was the king of the south, in Judah?" Well, we ultimately agreed that it was hardly necessary knowledge to enter the kingdom of God. Know that Jesus Christ was crucified for you, really know it in faith, and you're in. It is that simple. Know Jesus and him crucified. That's what Paul says, right? But what does Jesus say? "Until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota or a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished." Sounds as if Paul is guilty of a thing called gospel reductionism. Anything goes. Do whatever you want, live however you want, deny any other part of the Bible, especially that the law is binding on Christians today. Sure sounds like Paul is contradicting Jesus, doesn't it? How can these two be reconciled? The answer: Christ crucified is the fulfillment of every letter of the law. Proclaiming Christ crucified proclaims the whole law. Jesus' cross shows how binding the law is. The one who was hanging there is the Son of God. And God the Father turns his own Son over to hell and damnation over one piece of fruit eaten in a garden long ago. Over one thoughtless word spoken yesterday. Over one word that should be spoken tomorrow to tell someone about Jesus, but won't be. The cross shows that God's standard can never be lowered. 100% compliance. That's it. No excuses, no letting you off the hook. In Christ crucified, we see that every transgression of every letter of the law must and will be punished, and to the full extent of the law. You see, knowing Christ and him crucified is also knowing that the law has been fulfilled. "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." The full extent of the law has been executed. Christ has been crucified. The demands of every iota and dot have been met. Every letter has been fulfilled, not by us, but for us. You see, Jesus is no legalist. He's not driving us to keep the law. He's not saying the law isn't important, but he's promising to do it for us because we can't. Jesus set the standard. "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Scribes and the Pharisees were premier law keepers. People looked up at them in awe because they were able to keep the law. But in reality, we know that they couldn't. And Jesus showed them this when he said, if we're angry with our brother, we've murdered him in our heart. And even if we look at a woman with lust, we've committed adultery with her. You see, sin is a matter of the heart, not simply of the hands. So since it's impossible for us to keep the law perfectly, Jesus, who alone could keep it perfectly, gives us his own perfect of the law, credits us with the work that he did. Paul was no gospel reductionist. He wasn't dismissing the importance of every word of Scripture, including every demand of the law. He wasn't proclaiming them fulfilled. He was, proclaiming them fulfilled when he said, nothing except Christ crucified. And it's the same for us. We don't, mustn't, can't diminish the demands to let our lights shine, to be salt of the earth. And that includes recognizing that there's nothing that we can take out of Scripture, even if it's really hard to hear or do. It's just that when we know Christ and him crucified, really know and understand what he did for us, we will be fulfilling the law too. The more we know the one thing Paul knew, the more we'll love doing what the law demands. Not perfectly, of course. But we'll want people to know we love Jesus because he forgives us even when we fail to live as we know he wants us to do. You see, the cross doesn't give us a pass on sin. It makes us realize how much our forgiveness cost and causes us to be thankful for what Jesus has done. And it makes us even more aware of our failures. Turns sorrow for our, makes our hearts sorrowful for our sin. So that when we turn our heart to him and every day try to be the people he wants us to be, even though we know we'll never do it perfectly, we still try. Paul was neither a poor teacher nor a bad student. Quite the contrary. He learned that the whole message of God, he learned it so well that he could clearly and beautifully teach it all in one phrase, Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus, to life everlasting. Amen.